Well, that's a good way to start, amen. I want to start out the message this morning with something really important, and that's who's sitting in the Van Fleet seats? Ms. Leland, are you sitting in the Van Fleet seat? Did you pay for those yet? You have to rent those. Yeah, if the Van Fleets are out, then those seats have to be rented. So, okay, there's the sign. You have to call that telephone number. Yeah. Make sure you call the number and pay the fee. Anyway, some of our visitors are going like, what in the world is he talking about? We got to pay for our seats? We've done reverted back to 100 years ago? No, it's an inside joke, but it's really funny if you knew all the details. But Psalm 139. What a blessing it is to just go around and meet everybody, shake hands and fellowship this morning. What a blessing it is to be amongst friends and family. It just really is. It's tremendous. And I love my family. I'm talking about the family I actually born into. I love my church family. And what a wonderful blessing it is to, again, gather around the Word of God. This morning's message is very simple. And certainly be nothing new. But as I was praying and thinking this week, and especially last night as I lay down in bed, this thought continued to come to my mind. Psalm 139 and verse 1. Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest me, my path, and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. We just realized this morning that God knows everything. God knows everything. Let's pray. We thank You this morning, Lord, for the opportunity to meet together, to again gather around Your Word. We do pray that this one simple thought this morning would resonate in the hearers and in our hearts, that we walk away this morning knowing You more. And understanding and knowing that because You are a God who knows all things, that You are in absolute control. We thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. When I think of God, this is one of the attributes of God that comes to mind. Probably one of the most attributes that come to mind is He's all-knowing. We call it omniscient. That God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. It's one of His greatest characteristics as we think about God. That God knows everything. That God knows everything. Our God is truly amazing. And I said Wednesday night we used the word awesome because awesome's from the 80s and that's what I was raised in. And I even sang Wednesday night, I think I sang, "Our God is an awesome God, He reigns." And we sang that a little bit. And but our God is amazing. He knows everything from beginning to end. Our God is all-knowing. The psalmist said in Psalm 147 and verse 5, the Bible says, "He telleth the number of the stars." He knows how many stars there are. I mean, I'm amazed. When I was a kid, I enjoyed science. One of the very first things I asked for when I was a kid, probably 7 or 8 years old, I asked for a telescope and a microscope. And, of course, my parents, because they love me, they bought me one. And the one they bought me, of course, was one of those little child telescopes. But, you know, absolutely at night, get it out and look up at the stars and the moon. Instead of being this big, it was about that big, you know. I couldn't see the craters or anything like that. I mean, it was, you know, a simple telescope. But still, as you look up, and you can't hardly do it in the city. You got to get out, you know, out in the country. And to look up at the stars and know that God knows how many stars there are. And this will blow your mind, and it blows my mind, because there's an infinite amount of stars, but God knows how many there are. It's amazing. God knows everything. God knows everything. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them by their names. You know, I can't remember Brother Vian's name on a Wednesday night. And I've known him for four or five years. I can't remember his name. But yet God knows every name of every star. That's an amazing God. He knows everything. Knoweth them all by name. Great, the psalmist says, great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. His understanding is infinite. And it's hard for us in our finite minds to understand even the word infinite, because there's really nothing to compare it to. It's forever. It's forever. The Lord is infinite. The Lord is all-knowing. God knows everything, things actual, things that are possible, and He knows those things effortlessly and equally well. In other words, if I'm going to, one of the ways, the reason why some people say, well, preacher, why do you remember everybody's names most of the time? Well, because one of the ways I do that is I pray for our members. I pray for our members. Almost every day I pray through the church directory, and I pray for each member. And therefore, because I go over that name, and I go over that name, and I go over that name, I ought to be able to remember it, right? So, you know, I have a secondary motive for, I want to pray for you as a member of our church, and I want to do that because I love this church, I love you, and I'm your pastor. But it also helps me remember your name. Those things takes effort to do that. If I'm going to learn anything, I almost said computers, but my mind just doesn't go there. It may go there, but I just don't want it to go there. But if I'm going to learn about any subject, it's going to take some study, it's going to take some work. But that's not the case. God knows everything, and he knows it effortlessly. It doesn't take any work for Him to know. He knows everything. There are so many applications to this morning. We'll take just a few minutes to give some application. And the Bible makes it very clear in Psalms 44, verse 21, "Shall not God search this out? For He knoweth the secrets of the heart." God knows the secrets of the heart. Psalm 44, 21. So we'll think about this morning by way of application that God knows our hearts. God knows our hearts. If God knows everything, and the psalmist says He knows the secrets of our heart. Jeremiah 17 talks about how our hearts many times are desperately wicked. You think about it for a moment. I've been married for 20 years. And I knew my wife. We've met each other when we were 13. We're high school sweethearts. We dated off and on in high school right out of high school, got married. I've known her for a long time, and she's known me for a long time. But there are still things that if my wife knew about me and some thoughts I may have had, if she knew about those things, it would sicken her. Oh, don't look at me like that, you pious bunch of people. You know, you understand that God knows your heart. And every thought that you have ever had, and every thought that you're going to have, God knows those thoughts. God knows your heart. God knows your heart. God knows my heart. And He makes that very clear in Jeremiah again. He says, hey, I know how wicked many times man's heart can be. And therefore, remember, I know your heart. And what I get from this is that God knows our heart, but yet He still loves us. That God knows who I really am on the inside, and yet God sent His only begotten Son into the world to die for me. He came to die for my wicked thoughts. He came to die for my wicked deeds. Jesus Christ died on Calvary for my sin because He loved me in spite of me. He loved me in spite of my wickedness, in spite of my sinful thoughts and so forth. He loved me. God knows my heart, and yet He loves me. I love the phrase that is ascribed to David when the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Just imagine that for a moment. That God described David as a man after His own heart. Oh, I wish that could be said of me, right? And you ought to wish that could be said of you, that you are a man, a woman after God's own heart. God is all-knowing, and God knows the secrets of our heart. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Right? Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above, I love the song, is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Anybody know the rest of it? Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For your Father up above is looking down in love. I'm glad He's looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. What we see gets embedded into our heart. What we hear gets embedded to our heart. Where we go gets embedded to our heart. We ought to be careful what we do, what we see. The Bible in the New Testament says that we ought to bring into every thought into captivity. By the way, it's only done by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're a child of God this morning, you have within you the power to capture those thoughts and to think upon godly things. The Bible says, think upon these things, virtue, those things. Let's get our minds thinking upon good things. And I'll even use an expression used a lot today. Let's get our minds on positive things. Let's get our minds on godly things. Because God knows our heart. As we think about God being all-knowing, we also realize from Exodus 3, verse 7, the Bible says, I know their sorrow. Who's there? Exodus 3, 7, when He says, I know their sorrow, He's referring to the Israelites in Egypt. And the Israelites were in Egypt. They were in bondage there. The Bible says there rose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. There was over a million Jews there in Egypt who were under bondage, who were under heavy oppression, who were being beat and having to work. And they began to cry out to God. They began, after 400 years of being in Egypt, they began to cry out to God. And the Bible says He heard their cry and He knew their sorrow. Not that He heard their cry, but that He knew their sorrow. He knows their sorrow. Listen, I'm glad that God hears my cry. When I pray to Him, He hears me. He hears my prayer. And listen, if you went to Him this morning, He heard your prayer. If you go to Him this evening, He hears your prayer. God hears our cry, and He knows our sorrow. God knows the things that we are facing. God knows the things that we are going through. God knows everything about you. You lose a job, God knows it. You lose a loved one, God knows it. You have a wayward child, God knows it. You have a fight with your spouse, God knows it. If you are sorrowing this morning, God knows it. God knows it. And He hears your cry. As we think about that for a moment, that God knows everything. By the way, God doesn't just hear our cry and know our sorrow, but He cares about those things. He cares about you. He cares that you are sorrowing. That's the God we serve. He knows our sorrow. God knows man's needs. This is an easy one. Most of us realize this, and probably this is the most one that we dwell the most on. Matthew chapter 6, the Bible describes that your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. There the Bible speaks about that God, if He takes care of the birds, if He takes care of the grass, then surely God will take care of you. The Bible says there in Matthew 25 that no man could add to his stature. I wished I was 6 foot tall. I don't know what boy is not born in this world wishing he could be at least 6 foot tall, right? I mean, it's just the perfect size, be about 5'11", 6 foot tall, and weigh about 230, 240-ish, so that you could knock somebody down in football. That's all that mattered when I was a kid. And, you know, everybody, but the Bible says in Matthew 25, who can add to their stature? Nobody can add to their stature. Nobody can, you know, you can do whatever you want to. You hang yourself up in a, you know, traction or whatever you want to do to try to stretch yourself. It's just not going to happen. Right? It's just not going to happen. You can't add to your stature. If God takes care of the birds and God takes care of the grass, He provides for them. Matthew 25 says, don't you think He'll take care of you? I mean, doesn't He care for you more than He cares for a bird? I know in our day and age people have issues with animals, but I'm talking about, in the greater picture of things, God cares more for you, a human being, than He cares for a bird. He says, take no thought of what you shall wear or what you shall eat. God knows you have need of these things. God knows. Listen, God absolutely knows that you have these needs. And then we know in Philippians, He's promised to supply all of our needs. So whatever need you have, God's promised to supply that need. And He will supply that need. Not just some of the time, but all the time. Not just some of the time, but every time. You say, well, this is coming to my life, or that's coming to my life. God knows that is in your life. God knows that you have that need. He knows it every time. And then we think about that God knows His own children. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says, the Lord knows them that are His. The Lord knows them that are His. I don't know about you, but I know my kids. I can name them. I know them. We hang out. Somehow they're at my house. They come to the table a lot. They want to eat. They have to have new shoes. And new clothes, new pants. And I gripe about it. It's just the way every man pretty well is that way. You know, got to have new shoes. Oh, I love new shoes. We try to make them last 1 year, you know. So before we go to youth camp every year, all right, let's all go buy new shoes, you know. But sometimes when they go through those growth spurts, I get one every 3 months. It's like, please help. God knows His children. And just like you know your kids, right? By the way, a parent ought to know. I know we don't know their secret thoughts, but you ought to know their heart. Every child is different. It's amazing how different they are. It's amazing how different they are. I know we say, and I think it's good to do this as much as you can. I want to be the same with every kid. I want to treat every kid the same. All my children, treat them the same. And yes, we ought to strive to do that. But every kid is different. And therefore, there are certain nuances that you're not going to be able to treat every kid exactly the same. Every kid has a different personality. It's amazing how unique each individual person is. Right? God's made us that way. And you ought to get an idea of the heart of your child. You ought to be able to get an idea of their wants and their needs and even, of course, learning their personalities and so forth. In other words, you get to know your own children. Don't you think God knows you? I mean, we are very limited in what we can learn as far as our kids, but God is unlimited. He knows everything about you. If you're a child of God this morning, if you are born into the family of God, have been born in the family of God, God knows you this morning. God knows His children. That's what Timothy said. God knows His own. And if you're not a part of the family of God, you ought to be. It's the greatest experience you ever had. Everybody ought to want to be a Crawford. It's an amazing experience. It really is. I mean, we have some of the best times. I know y'all's families do too. But it's wonderful being a Crawford. I enjoy my Crawford nose. I got it from my daddy. Who got it from his daddy? Who got it from his daddy? I'm enjoying going bald. I'm going bald gracefully. My great-grandpa was bald. My papa was bald. My dad's bald. So I'm headed that direction. I don't even have to bend down anymore for y'all to see it. You can see it right from there. It's kind of headed this direction, you know. I still tell the lady who cuts my hair, I said, I did this about a year ago, I said, don't show me the back of my head. Do you want to see the back of your head? No, I don't. She said, well, you want to make sure it's right? I don't care if it's right. Just, you know, block it off in the back, we'll be fine. I don't want to see it. I mean, I enjoy being a Crawford, but there's certain limitations. There's certain experiences. There's certain things I've received because of heredity that, you know, I don't necessarily like. But can I tell you, there's nothing I don't like about being a child of God. Nothing. I'm so glad today that I'm saved. I'm glad at the age of 6 years old that I knelt in my pastor's office, and there I repented of my sins, and there I put my trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that He lived. I believe He died. I believe He rose again from the dead that I might have everlasting life. And when I put my trust in Him, I entered into the family of God. I became a child of God. I was born again. The greatest experience in my life was at that point when I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I haven't regretted that decision ever. I'm a part of the family of God. And God knows me. Because I'm His, He knows me. Because I'm part of His family, He knows me. He knows my heart. He knows my sorrows. He cares for me. He knows my needs. And as a child of God, He's promised to supply my needs. If you're here, you're not a child of God. He hasn't promised you that. You don't get that promise. I get that promise as a child of God. What a great promise it is. God, the Lord, knows them that are His. Listen, it's simple this morning. If you want to be a part of the family of God, we can show you from the Bible how you can know that you can be a part of the family of God. How you know you can have salvation. We're going to stand here in a moment and sing a song. You come down front and somebody down here, one of our workers, will show you from the Word of God how you can have everlasting life. How you can become a part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this far. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I love the rest. You may notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're part of a family and our hearts are so dear. It's wonderful to be a part of the family of God. God knows His children. God knows His children. In conclusion this morning, we will think about God possesses perfect knowledge. My conclusion is going to be long, by the way, just to let you know. God possesses perfect knowledge and therefore has no need to learn. I'll never forget one of my professors, and he'll be preaching here in May on a Wednesday night, Dr. Barber, who said, "Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God?" In other words, God is never surprised. And God is never amazed. The Bible says, "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him?" You can't teach God anything. He knows everything. He's never surprised. When Adam and Eve sinned there in the Garden of Eden, He wasn't surprised. God knew that Adam would sin. God knew that beforehand. God knew that beforehand. God is never surprised. God is never amazed. Nothing occurs to God because He knows everything. The Bible says in Job chapter 12, "With Him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding." Jude says, "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Daniel said this, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His." The psalmist said, "His understanding is infinite." It's infinite. God knows everything. This was my thought the last few days, actually since I preached Wednesday night, was that many times we so limit God as to His abilities and His power. Because it's very hard for us to understand how truly powerful, how truly understanding that God is. In other words, that God is present everywhere. And it's hard for us to understand that God knows everything. Because we can't compare it to anything. It's just very hard to compare. By the way, I'm glad of that. I'm glad there's nothing that compares, no one that compares to God. Amen? I mean, Jack Van Impe can memorize the Bible, but he just don't have it all, right? So we know that when God created the heavens and the earth, that He created not only space and matter, but He also created time. And before God's creation, there was no time. And that's hard to understand. When I was in school and I had a math teacher who was pretty decent, and she tried to teach me math. And one of my favorite teachers, and I made decent grades. But I remember one of the very first things you learned about a line is that a line never ends. And, you know, there's no starting point. It just goes on forever and ever that way. God is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. There was no God that wasn't born. There was no beginning of God. So time with God has always been. And what happened was when he created the heavens and the earth, it's like he put, in math, where you put that little dot on the line. And time started. God created time. And therefore, in your own life, if you would, when you came into this world, you're born in this world, time for you began. And time marches on. 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year. Now I'm 39 years old. And now I'm in the 39th year. I'm in the 39th year of my time. But with God, there is no beginning, but there's also no end. So that line continues just to march on. Right? Until the final dot. The final dot is when the earth is melted and there's a new heaven and a new earth and time will be no more. That's what the Bible says. Time will be no more. He created time and He's the one that's going to do away with it. I'm looking for the day He does away with time. And it's amazing if you continue to think about it. I was laying in bed last night late thinking about this. It astounds me that God knows everything, that there is no beginning of His knowledge, there's no end of His knowledge. That time, there was no time before or after. He created time. He's the one that put the dot on the line. And He put that dot on the line, so time began. All right, so think about this for a moment. There is no time with God. So God created the heavens and the earth, and in 1974, March 4th, 1974, Eric Crawford was born in this world. That was a great day. And he knew my first year. He saw my second year. He saw my third, fourth, fifth, and my sixth year. On March 12th, 1980, I accepted Christ as my Savior in my pastor's office. He knows that. Time marches on. I got married. Time marches on. I got all these things. God knows everything. And stay with me. He knew it before it happened. If you get nothing out of this message this morning, get this. That line started over there for me at the age of zero when I was born in this world. But God is standing over here, and He already knows when I'm going to die. He's seen it. Because there is no time with God. So, when I was age 5 or 6, I don't remember exactly, and y'all have heard the story about this, my mom and took all us kids to the lake, and we were out there swimming the lake, and I was in one of these little canoes that you blow up, and it had a little paddle. It was awesome. Little kid, that was awesome. Out in the buoy lake, just paddling around. I got out a little deep, and I went to turn around, and I fell out of the little canoe. And it was over my head. And I could not swim. And I remember going down. I went down, down, down. Mom was over there with something else they were doing. There were some of the church ladies there. I don't remember what all. And so when I went down to the bottom, I'd push myself off and I'd raise my hand. I'd go back down and I'd push myself off the bottom and I'd wave my hand. And my mama saw me finally. Came over, jerked me out of the water, got me up on the shore and got the water out of me. I must have coughed for an hour. I've told you this story. It's been a long time. Y'all know why I pushed off the bottom like that? It was a cartoon I saw. Honestly, that's exactly what I can play that over my mind as if it happened yesterday. It was Pie and Olive Oil. Remember that when Olive Oil would fall in the water and she'd go up and put 1 and 2 and 3? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I promise you, when I fell in the water, that's exactly what came to my mind. Was that cartoon and the 1, 2, 3. I don't know if I was doing the 1 or 2 or 3 when I came up out of the water, but I was waving and saying, please somebody help me. I was drowning. I was done. Do you know that God knew that? God saw that, but He knew it before it was going to happen. But He allowed it to happen. Time marches on. He saw me get my first cut on the head and had to get stitches. Every boy does that. It's just natural. My first breakage, the arm break, and that's almost natural for a boy too if he ever plays outside. Got to break something. And just march on. God saw all these things. He saw them before they happened. God saw my high school years. God saw me get married. God saw those things. God saw when my first child was born. But He saw all those things before they happened. If God saw all those things and He saw them as because there's no time with Him, basically He sees them all at the same time. I know that's tough for us to understand. But in by way of illustration, I'm going to say He saw them beforehand. He saw them beforehand. And yet, even after I was at the age of 6 when I got saved, He allowed those things into my life. He saw when our first daughter passed away. He saw when our second daughter passed away. He saw all those things and allowed those things into our lives. By the way, there's a lot more good things than bad. Don't ever think otherwise. Many, many, many countless blessings way above the bad things in our life. You ever get discouraged and depressed, just sit down and start counting your blessings. I just want to make it very clear this morning, as you lay in your bed at night, that God knows everything going on in your life. God knows your heart. He knows your sorrows. He knows your needs because you are His child. And He saw all those things beforehand. He knows exactly what's going to happen to you tomorrow. You do not know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. But He sees around the corner. And just as I have my kids' best interests in mind when I do things for them or don't do things for them or I discipline them, so does God have your best interests in mind. That God, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, that God is working everything to your good. Everything that comes into your life, God is working it to your good. That you might be conformed to the image of His Son. Understand this morning, God knows everything. God knows everything. He knew it before it happened. He knows everything that's going to come into your life tomorrow. And what I'm saying this morning, above everything else, is isn't it better to allow Him the control of your life than yourself? Can't I trust Him with tomorrow? Because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know God loves me, that He knows my sorrow, that He knows my heart, He knows my needs. Because I'm His child, I can trust Him with tomorrow. I can trust Him with 3 weeks from now. I can trust Him with 2 months from now. I can trust Him a year from now, and 3 years from now, and 10 years from now. I can trust Him when I'm sick in the hospital. I can trust Him when I lose my job. I can trust Him when I have a child go wayward. I can trust Him when I have a death in the family. I can trust Him when there's no money in the bank. I can trust Him that there's going to be food on the table and that God is going to take care of me. Because He's already seen what's going to happen in the future. He knows. I don't. I'm just going to do right like Daniel did. Just do right. God will take care of the rest. Because I can't see what's going to happen tomorrow. But my God can. Let's all stand.